Hello, everybody. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the third season of the RDM podcast. And as you can see, the setup is a little different. Yeah. I'm not alone in the studio. I'm going to introduce the gentlemen that are with me. But before that, let me introduce the topic. We're going to be discussing what in the world is going on and what should we expect next, preferably in the next 10 years or so. Next to me is Afimani McLean. Business guru, man who loves to read, a thinker. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Good to be here.
Yeah. Then we have Alex Engola, a man with an apostolic ministerial anointing. He's also a reader of books. Ask him anything about the church, he'll tell you. Alex, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited.
All right. And on my right is Eric Enzima, a worshipper, a man anointed. Your ministry is called?
Crib Epignosis House of Revelation.
You're very welcome, Eric.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Honored to be here.
All right. Gentlemen,
yeah.
What in the world is going on?
That's a broad question.
Yeah,
that's a broad question, but I'll answer from my perspective and different from business, like you introduced. Yes, I'm a businessman. I'm in that field, but I also have a soft spot for music, and I'll answer mine from that angle because I love music, but I'm more of an old school type of music, 2000s, okay?
Right.
The new school music, I don't subscribe to it. Why? Because in this new school kind of music, when you watch the music videos, you see a lot of what I'd call blasphemy, okay? Back in the day, if you'd watch a music video and it was about love, you'd understand, like, this is a love song, you know, love video. But now you have music videos where you have the cross and it's inverted.
Right.
And literally, you can know that these are shots at something.
Right.
And if it's the cross, we know that's a representation of the church. Yeah. And it's weird for us to be in such times. And this, for me, these are things that stand out for me.
And there's also, if you've watched the most recent, one of the videos that has caused a lot of controversy lately is by Lil Nas X. I think it's called Montero. I don't know if you guys have watched it.
Yeah.
And in that video, just know there's a lot going on inside there. We'll show a clip of it. Well, I'm sure I will show a clip of it, but it will show you that there's a lot going on and there's a reason for that. Let me just explain briefly before I bring in Alex and Eric as to the reason why it seems like a lot of people, a lot of things in music, film, all over the world seem to be taking a darker turn. They were dark, but darker. You will notice, and you need to pay attention even as we have the discussion, that when the church is limited, okay, especially like during this lockdown all over the world because of the COVID-19 pandemic, when the church is limited, when people are not meeting, when they're not worshiping God as a whole, evil increases. Okay, so there has to be a link between the increase in wickedness and the reduction in church. Churching, if you can say.
Yeah.
Alex.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. Talking about that link, you notice that as the world continues to progress and some of the things that are happening around us, music, entertainment, and so forth, we notice that there is a section of the church that has tried to fit in as well, because the ideal church, its relevance should be by its irrelevance to the world. And now when we talk about people like Lil Nas and a few other entertainers, there are people who take that as merely just entertainment, but there is a darker effect to it.
Hidden message behind it.
Yes. And and like the Bible tells us that we have an unction with the Holy One and we know all things. There are certain aspects of the world as is now that we are supposed to know, that you're supposed to just look at if you are spiritually adept and know that, you know, this doesn't align. And now where we are headed now, with most of the church virtually fellowshipping from home and limited, they cannot worship freely.
True,
we see that the enemy is becoming even bolder and bolder. And if we do not wake up and stand, we shall be left wallowing in the back benches of society, because the enemy is here for an onslaught. They are promoting all their agendas. And sadly, the church, a vast majority really of it is still waiting to see what happens next before they can act.
And in line with music as well, if you notice Lil Nas X on YouTube, the man has over 380 million views.
That's big.
And I tried to check on YouTube to see how many men of God and women of God, how many subscribers they have on their pages. And no matter how anointed a man of God is, 100,000, 200,000, he has 17 million subscribers. It tells you a lot about the age we're in, right?
That's interesting. Because now what comes to my mind is Daniel 11:32. It says, he shall seduce with flattery. And what's interesting is now we see that at its climax. See, if we're talking Bollywood, Nollywood, Yugawood, everything wants to go woody, but at the end of the day. So if that's it's wood. But what's in it, you know, what's interesting is it's much more spiritual than it is. I see when in times where Isaiah puts it like this in 33:6, he says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. And the strength of salvation, you know, the fear of the Lord is our treasure. But we see when we're in times now, truthfully, where we need to come to grips with the realm of the spirit like we've never known before. We're talking about Lil Nas, but interesting, when you flash back, there's a name, Little Richard, back in the day. You know, now what happens is we see a reincarnation of evil, even in sound coming up. It's not entirely new what is happening, but you see it's like reinventing of the wheel.
Who's Little Richard?
Little Richard was, back in the day, they called him the King of Soul. So if you track, and he actually was, it's that whole bisexual arrangement to it. And so what we see happening with even Lil Nas right now is not entirely something new, but what happens is it's amplified.
Okay.
Now what's interesting is... look at Lil Nas, Rabbi just spoke about the numbers in terms of viewership and all, but you get to see that's a deep spirit guy. Interestingly, from the other side. And so you look at it in this angle of, okay, if that's how men are really deep, because that just can't be man, you know?
I don't know. Okay, I've been explaining that, listen, we're having a discussion on the end times, the time that we're in. And I was explaining to you as we had a conversation earlier that from the time God created the earth and the universe, we are currently in what is referred to as the end of the church age. The church age began when Jesus died and resurrected. But we are coming to the end of it, okay? And we shall explain what happens after. But I need to make it clear here that there are so many discussions right now about end times. Many men and women of God are teaching on it. The reason is because it's the word for the season. If you're not teaching the end time message,
you're off track.
You can say that. You haven't yet tuned in. But also, because you see, people need to know what is happening so that they will have no excuse. And so we're not just here to parrot what has been said. We're actually having discussions, because we're going to have many discussions as time goes on, but we want to set a clear understanding of why this message is important in this time and age. That having been said, it's very difficult to talk about the end times without the spirit of prophecy upon you. Now I need to make this clear. A person can teach on end time, but teaching absent of the aid of the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is not just prophesying. You can teach, and in the process, a prophetic is released.
Yes.
Anything absent of the spirit of prophecy upon your life, you're guessing. If you look back, if you paid attention, there are people who thought Barack Obama was the Antichrist.
True.
And you can clearly see, compared biblically to the Antichrist who is coming, Barack Obama is cookies and sugar. You understand? And marshmallows and all that mixed together.
Yes, true.
All right? There's a lot of guesswork going on. That's why access to the spirit of prophecy is very, very important to be accurate and pure when it comes to end time discussion and teaching. Right?
Yeah, true.
So I want to make it clear that I had a discussion last time, and we were talking about how the Bible has seals,
veils,
and ciphers. And I was explaining that when something is sealed in the realm of the spirit, only God can unseal it. So, for example, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, the Bible says, after Daniel has had all his visions, God says that the book is sealed and Daniel is told to go on his way. Okay? Mm-hmm. That book later was unsealed in the book of Revelations.
Mm.
So John unseals it. Eh?
Yes.
There had to be someone worthy enough to unseal it.
Okay? Yeah. You're with me?
Yes. Yeah,
but so let me give you another example of a seal. The identity of the Antichrist is sealed.
Mm.
Eh? Because Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, it says that he will be revealed in his time. So the seal there is time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. So anything before the time of his revelation is guesswork.
True. Mm-hmm.
True.
Now you can get signs of who he is, but anything before that is just guesswork. Yes. When the time comes for his revelation, everyone who is a Christian will see and say, this is a guy. One more thing. Another thing that is sealed is, for example, it's sealed in a different way, is peace in the Middle East.
Mm. Mm.
Every world leader, especially of superpowers, UK, USA, they've tried to create a peace deal in the Middle East.
Mm, mm.
But Scripture says that it will be this man who actually seals that deal.
Yeah.
So it is sealed by access, not time this time. Mm. Sealed by access.
By access.
Mm. So unless you're him,
and
it can't be done.
Are
you with me? Yes. So here's why I'm bringing that up, and you're going to weigh in. There are things in the Bible that are sealed. The ability to be able to know what is sealed will help you stop guessing. So you just leave certain things
for that time.
For that time. I don't know what you guys think about that. Mm-hmm. Eh? Because we talked about also veils.
Mm.
When something is veiled, it's not necessarily sealed. It means you can see it, but you can't see it clearly. The unveiling
creates clarity.
Clarity. And revelation brings unveiling. So, for example, your purpose is veiled. And as you walk with God, there's a constant unveiling. Okay? The 666 is a veiled thing. It's a number.
Mm.
It says, he who has wisdom, let him calculate the name. All right? Mm. It is veiled. And it will be a revelation that comes that unveils it. You guys with me?
So it's not for private interpretation. You can't say now, like, we have a 666, but many know it from that angle of, okay, it's like a symbol. You have a direction, but what's beneath it is much deeper. That's why Jesus says, see, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. So I take, we are at that point now really where there is it's a place of understanding much deeper than the church has known before. And I thank God so much because we have the opportunity to even sit under men like Rabbi Daniel Malinga, because it's now where the teaching unction is really required for us to come to that place of understanding.
Yes, thank you, Eric, for that. You talk about some of the things that are sealed, for example, the Antichrist. And now for us...
And we're going to have that discussion deeper.
Yes, much deeper. Mm. Now for us, of course, much as we know that there are certain aspects that are sealed, it doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot study the signs and know what is happening around you.
That's true.
And have an understanding.
True.
And be in position to also get the times that you live in. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about those ones who are the children of the day, they are awake, they do not sleep at night.
Yes.
So we are supposed to be fully aware of the understanding and the times that we live in.
Mm.
Because there are already certain signs that we can see and know that we are in the end, in the end of days, and we can adequately prepare so that by the time the Lord is coming, he finds us actually watching and praying.
It's interesting. I'm still waiting for the expansion on ciphers.
Okay.
But for now, let me also say something on the seals and the veils. Because we know in Revelations, a time came when they said, who is worthy, okay, to read what is in this scrolls? Yeah. But for you to read what is there, you need to first and seal it.
Yes.
Okay, so like you're saying, seals, it's not just anyone who is going to come and seal it. So if you have something in your life, okay, that requires and sealing for you to get the knowledge and revelation of what's in it. It's not just any man. It's not just any random person who can come and tell you this is what is there.
No.
It needs to be a specific person called for that specific role. And we've seen this also with our father, okay? He there are times when I remember there was a prophecy that he gave someone and he was taking them through their dream. And he said, that particular dream, not for now. It's not for now. And that brings me to the point that you mentioned about time.
Yes.
But like I'm saying, I'm interested in also hearing about the ciphers. But more interestingly, I want to hear about the weight of each of these. Which is more heavier? Which has more weight? When you look at seals and veils, which one is more complicated to sort out?
Okay. Let me talk about the ciphers, because ciphers simply means that there are a lot of things in the Bible that are encoded with a language.
Mm.
And when you get that language guided by the Spirit of the Lord, you can decode certain things. Eh?
Mm.
There are two books that just by nature in the Bible are ciphers.
Mm.
The book of Daniel and the book of Revelations. Those two are books of ciphers. Now, there are people over the years who have been able, by the grace of the Holy Ghost, to decipher certain things and certain statements that were made in that time and bring them and make them relevant in this time and age. You know, interestingly, as time went on, it became clearer and clearer that what the previous ages thought about what the Bible was saying in relation specifically with the end times was not so. So I'll give you an example. And we're going to go deep into it when we discuss the man of sin or the lawless one.
Mm.
Mm. During the age of the Vikings, years back. Eh?
Yes.
When the Vikings used to raid Europe, the British had heard the scriptures about an Antichrist who was the dragon who would come. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Vikings, when they would ride in, when they would sail in with these ships, the ships had dragons at the at the tip.
Mm.
Okay, so when they saw these dragons, the people at that time presumed that the prophecy
is playing out.
Is playing out. Eh? Mm. And so when time went and they realized that's not so, you start to cross off things. You say, okay,
not
so
this.
Now I would like to emphasize that there is no other generation that can clearly say they have been in a period where surely Christ's return is imminent more than the generation that we are in right now, because the signs and symbols and everything clearly it shows that there's a lot going on. Eh? But and I'll explain this. In 2012, I had the opportunity to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Israel, was there for about a month, and it actually played a role into throwing me into my action as a teacher. I had an encounter with a rabbi. Pun not intended. I had an encounter with a rabbi, and I sat down with him, and I remember asking him numerous questions about the end times and the like. And I remember he turned to me and said, and the encounter I had with this man was at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, which is the last remaining part of the temple during the time of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing with him, and he says, young man, the future of the world is encoded in Genesis. And I said, what? And then he quoted for me a scripture that says, God sees the end
from the beginning.
From the beginning. Yeah? Then that's the first time I had an understanding of what he referred to at that time as the law of repetition. I did not understand it until now.
Mm.
And he said there is a law of repetition that the Lord planted in Genesis chapter 1. When he said he created the plants and so on and says each shall produce after its kind.
Mm.
It's the law of repetition. Mm-hmm. So till this very day,
correct,
that law plays out. Now the same law applies in time. The thing that has been is the thing that shall be. There is nothing
new under the sun.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
So, God has rigged the system in time that things repeat themselves so that men can be able to see and learn. Because for some reason, human beings can't learn without some things repeating themselves.
Yes.
So, the signs that we've seen over time, and we're going to discuss this, the signs that we've seen over time, they are things that have repeated themselves and will come in their culmination in this age that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that there are a lot of things in the book of Genesis that we can find about the time
we are in,
that we live in now.
Mm. You're with me?
Yes.
Huh? And I've taken a long route to describe to you ciphers, because some of these things are not seen just as outright as they look.
Yeah.
So to understand Revelations, you might have to go to
Genesis.
Whoever knew, man.
Are you with me? So the first time we get an implication in Scripture that there was an end time teaching is by Enoch.
True.
Enoch, seventh from Adam, was taken up. But Scripture says in Jude 14:15, he prophesied that Christ would return with 10,000 of his saints. Mm-hmm. That's the first end time teaching. You're with me?
Yes.
So it happens much earlier.
Much earlier.
And since then, there have been signs of messages and releases, expectations of things that are to come and when Christ would return. You with me?
Yes.
So I want you guys to add on to that.
It's interesting because for some reason, and this is just me, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but every time I thought about the end times, I will tell you, I have never considered Genesis to find information about end times. You understand? For me, it was always the book of Thessalonians. Okay. I think there's something in Luke as well. Then there's Daniel.
Yeah.
And then Revelation.
Right.
These are the books that we would always look at when we're looking at end times.
Right.
But it's very interesting. And like you're saying, it's human nature to learn from history to forge the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you're talking about things playing out again and again, and people at some points trying to guess the times.
Yeah.
Is this the Antichrist? Are we in the end days? Is this the tribulation? And things like that. When you look back, you will see that things that the Bible says will happen when we are drawing near to the end times, like the earthquakes, the famines, pestilence, and all of that kind of stuff. We see that these things over time have been there. But like you said, when we draw near to the end time, they climax.
I don't know. Because, yes, Alex, you can pitch in on that.
Okay, going back to the book of Genesis, of course, there are some things that we can see that happened then, which are later talked about also in the Gospels, that
can actually
show us,
which
Revelation also gives reference to. Because when you look at Genesis 19, the story of Lot, because Luke 17:28 says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We see that Lot eschewed evil and all the things that were happening at the time in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are seeing someone who apparently was righteous, and everyone around him was basically off. Then two angels come, and they tell him that the Lord is going to destroy this place. You have to leave. You have to leave as fast as you can. And Scripture tells us that even the day that they were leaving, Lot was lingering, that the angels had to hold him, his wife, and his two daughters, and basically take them out of the city and go into the mountains. Now, of course, as they were going to the mountains, of course, the wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. Now, in regards to the world that we live in now, currently as it is, now we see some of the things that are happening at the moment. And there are so many of us who apparently eschew evil, and we are seeing these things around us. And the crazy thing is that some people actually need to be dragged and tell them, you know what, you need to leave this place.
Thank God because for the rapture.
Revelation, I think 18:4 says, "Come out of her, my people, lest you shall be partakers of her plagues." And the thing is, for some of these things which are given to us, we have to look at how they unfolded earlier on, then even what is talked about in some of the Gospels, to also make a reference with some of the things that are happening now, and know that the time that we are in is actually very dangerous. Just a moment to close on something. Going back to that Revelation 19, when those two angels came and visited Lot, they spent a night, because they previously wanted to spend the night in the streets, but Lot decided to give them a room in his house. Now, the men of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah asked, who are these two strangers? They came and they were banging the door because they wanted apparently to have canon knowledge of the two angels. Now, the crazy thing is, when we look at the times that we are in and with the agenda that is being fronted, if someone is convicted and they do not believe some of these things that are happening around this with the LGBTQ and so forth and the woke culture, they come as much as possible to destroy you, basically. And they are going to bang on you and try as much as possible to destroy you. So you actually notice that the things that are happening where in the beginning they talked about and continue to be.
But unveiled. Actually, even in line with that, before Eric comes in, listen, I've studied scripture. I was an end time teacher for a while before I actually went into teaching. And so even in the times that I've studied, and I like to pay close attention to the things that are happening, even in the story of Lot, Jesus, as you said, said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah,
yes,
so shall it be.
Yes.
Now, first of all, you can get an allegory of the rapture from Lot's experience where angels come and carry him.
Yes.
True. True.
Yes. You can get an allegory because Jesus said that he sent out his servants to gather.
Yes.
True.
Okay.
True.
You can get an allegory of that. You can get an allegory in Genesis of the rapture from Enoch disappearing.
Yes, Enoch disappearing.
Right?
Yes.
You can get an allegory. Actually, there's a part in scripture where the Bible says that Moses was at the bottom of Mount Sinai and the voice of a trumpet spoke. And the Bible says, and when he had it, he went up.
Yes, again, rapture.
Are you repetition. Getting better?
Yes.
So the allegories of repetition that take place. I'll show you later that even the Antichrist is in the first few chapters of Genesis.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot hidden in Genesis that God put there in the beginning that was telling us about the time that we're in, so that things don't catch us by surprise. Right.
Wow. Ciphers. Spirit coding. This is interesting because what comes to my mind right now is even as we look at that Genesis 19 with Lot, and you fast forward to the day of Jesus in Matthew 12, when they're asking him to show them a sign of the times, he says, you see, this wicked and adulterous generation can only but have one sign, and that sign is of the prophet Jonah, the belly of the fish. But then, interestingly on, he talks about something further, and he says, see, on the day of judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah will actually have a better place. You know? And so, picking from the place of repetition, it's okay. Now, right now, we're looking at homosexuality. We look at all this, rock and roll, Hall of Fame, and all this, you see, music, entertainment. There is nothing new under the sun. It's just a repetition of what's happening. But now, Christ says, see, you keep asking for a sign. Even still further on that, you see the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These are teachers of the law. They're actually instructing in the Torah. But they come and they look at another rabbi, but this rabbi has demonstration that is not like their own. So they say they want to know the times, but you see, because of the pride they're in, they don't come directly. And Jesus says, see, you know how to tell natural weather. Like we see Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, every time weather forecast, this is what is happening, this is what is happening. But now we get to see with the spirit coding, truly. It's much deeper than what we see. And so from what we look at in Genesis 19, bringing even to the things that he keeps talking about, the times we're in, you see, these people have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. So it's much deeper.
I would like to direct the conversation. We're coming to the end of the church age. After that, there will be a millennial reign of Christ Jesus. But there's a lot that has to happen before that. Oh, by the way, the church age ends at the rapture, at the rapture, and when the church is raptured, the restraining force is removed, and then we'll see hell on earth.
literally this time.
But now, I want to explain. I want us to talk about what we think is going to happen next, because I want to show you a video. I want to show you a video that will set the foundation of this. It's called The Giant. And I want you to watch it, and we'll get your feedback after this.
Okay.
And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
If at first the idea is not absurd, then there's no hope for it. Albert Einstein. People of the world, welcome to The Giant. The visitor attraction for the 21st century. The exhibition space featuring the Giant Experience, a glorious celebration of the great men and women of your country. Inventors, artists, scientists, celebrities, and athletes. The viewing tower. See the city from the shoulders of a giant. The Roof Garden. New dimensions in retail, gastronomy, and special events for diversity of occasions. The world's tallest moving sculpture. Its head moves. Its arms move. It speaks and sings. A place to behold heroes and superheroes. A space to celebrate the great and the good, the game changers, the icons of your city and country. Every hour, the giant transforms into an extraordinary person from sports, science, characters, your favorite heroes, and recites poetry and words of wisdom to the crowds below. A space to celebrate the great and the good. The great men and women who have made this world.
All right, gentlemen. Oh. Now, there's a further the further levels that that clip. But what you're watching there was the giant, an AI that presently is being transferred all over Europe as a prototype of something that will happen in the future. Now, ideally, what will happen is that there will be a little booth where selfies will be taken to another level. You enter the booth, and it takes your photo, and the giant turns into your image. Okay? Now, this is a precursor where the Bible says that the beast shall create an image and force everyone to bow down before it. And the Bible does talk about an image that can speak. You know? It will shock people. Right? But it will be an image of him. Gentlemen, what should we expect next? What's coming?
You know, just watching that video reminds me of Baal. The worship, the image, Baal. And this is literally what's playing out. And you said this thing is moving all over the world.
Yeah.
And for me, it's quite, it's funny, it's disturbing at the same time. But we're literally coming to a place where people are beginning to, you know, push this message of oneness and oneness and oneness, because this is literally what this image is trying to do. Okay? Let's all come together and we can do this together, and what you are seeing, okay, what the people you love, okay, you can all celebrate them together and that kind of thing. And it's a giant and it's huge enough that everybody can see.
Yeah.
So we're having one big carnival where everyone is, you know, coming in to participate.
Even the fact that it's a giant, Nephilim. You know, why not call it something else, for God's sake?
Exactly. And it has, when you're using icons, so-called icons of society, you know what people do with icons. They literally worship them.
They're preparing for the chief icon who's coming. Who's coming. And you know, we're talking, so what's coming next is what we're talking about, a new world order. Because we know there's the UN, there's International Monetary Fund, there's World Bank, there's WHO, which is currently the chief. It's spearheading everything in relation to COVID. There's all the International Criminal Court. So everything is culminating into having one world government. And we were talking about how you can know the end from the beginning, and it all began at the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
Perfect.
Where there was one government, and specifically under one person, and we'll talk about that in detail. But this is not new, is it?
No, it isn't. It isn't. We look at this giant, and for me, as I was watching it, my mind first went to Daniel, chapter 3, about that statue that they had. At the time, it was your conviction that would make you fail to worship it.
Yeah.
But now we are looking at this particular one, and they're using icons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much as it might look a bit innocent, you realize that you involuntarily end up worshipping it because you probably love some of these icons that they're using.
Exactly.
They're not just using one, but from all spheres of entertainment. So it's a lot easier to be drugged, and that's the deception.
Yeah, true. Because now it still brings me to Daniel 11:32, he shall seduce with a lot of flattery.
Yes.
But what's interesting is now, like you said, it's at that point where from what we like, you know, men becoming better lovers of themselves, pleasure more than God.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And so now it's like when we look at technology in itself, that's exciting because we have now, see, we've had an order, the first world, is, you know, second world, third world, that kind of order, East African community, then we have the Euro, European Union and all. But now it's like Rabbi had put it, say, we come back to a repetition of the Tower of Babel, but this time the placement of Nimrod is another thing.
Yes.
You see, it's totally another thing because now we are at that point where still even in Daniel 11:32, that bit he says, but you see, them that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Now, there is a division. But the times we're in is that there is great deception. And the truth is, it's deception like we've never known. And so it's away from the kindergarten bit of salvation where it's all about, okay, we're going to heaven. We're born again. But do you see what's happening? Because our money is in their hands. See? So all this is to a place to choke the body of Christ. Already we are cornered in most parts, you see? But we thank God that them that know their God surely are stronger in doing exploits.
Have you guys heard about these COVID passports, vaccine passports?
Yeah.
And, well, there are a lot of people fighting them in Europe. But listen, let's be clear. These passports have nothing to do with the vaccine. They're to track people. Have people's information. They are precursor to something else that is coming. Let's not dilly-dally and tiptoe around it.
Yes.
And and you see, why have a vaccine passport? It just doesn't make sense.
doesn't make sense.
I was telling to someone, if you listen to the news, you think we have it bad. Australia is like a prototype of the New World Order. If you pay close attention, I've received a few letters from people, friends in Australia. I've received a few letters. Unfortunately, I can't read them out here. We'll read them out in another segment. And someone was telling me that they're not allowed to move within beyond 5 kilometers of where they stay. And this has been for 2 years. You understand? They haven't seen their family members in 2 years. If your family member stays 6 kilometers away from you,
you can't get to see.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about. I was listening to a message 2 weeks ago. Joe Biden speaking, and he was talking about vaccinating the whole population. Someone asked him, how many people need to be vaccinated for you to open up fully?" And he said 98%. Then he started thrashing about 70 million Americans who had refused to be vaccinated. Then what intrigued me was when he went to the army, all right, the American army.
Yeah.
He started to thrash the army, and there's something specific he said. He said, we're coming to a point now where anyone in the army who does not receive this vaccine will be dishonorably discharged. Dishonorably. Now, it's one thing to be discharged, but dishonorably. You in the US, you can't get a job. You literally can't get a job if you've been dishonorably discharged from the army. They've cut you off at the legs.
You're literally a criminal, like someone who has been convicted.
And I don't really want to go into this vaccine discussion, but we're talking about what's coming next, and there's already an organization set around mantras and set around systems, Babel at the beginning, Babylon,
yes.
at the end. Yeah. Mm. Yes. You understand? Which is a system that is being put in place to ensure that everything is intertwined and easily controlled. Eh? Mm. So that, here's the interesting thing, that the kingdoms of this world will be handed over to someone. Mm. Right?
Yeah. Right? Right.
Okay. Quickly, I want us to go. Oh, what else should we expect?
Something that we should expect in regards to the New World Order. Maybe I'll go to the religion.
Yes.
We have to notice and understand the deception that is happening around us easily. Mm. I remember a few months ago, must have been, I think, about April, May, I saw, I'll mention the name, Steve Harvey. Mm. He was in one of those Arabian countries, and of course he was dressed as in their outfit, and he started talking about how there is one God, and there was now a bit of a discussion about Chrislam, and now the crazy
so
thing is
Christianity and Islam,
yes, Chrislam, and now the crazy thing is this is someone who for decades.
Yes.
Has always come off as a Christian because apparently he grew up in a Christian home, and he's talked about God, and there are so many people who have listened to him, and now when he comes up and starts talking about Chrislam, you start realizing now there is a subtle amalgamation of sorts, and they go with some of the icons people who are loved to start bringing forth their message.
Following.
So there's a preference really to a form of godliness that denies the literal power.
Yes.
Can we just have something that is, you know, leave this Christ thing, leave it.
And you see, also just to add on that, this whole one thing, this whole one movement, now in countries like the US and the Euro and Europe, okay, you have this whole thing of now drawing a line between genders is also becoming tricky now. Then. Okay, are you male, female?
That's a mess.
You know, it's the whole campaign is let's embrace everyone. You know, we are all, okay, we are all together. This, everyone can be their own. Ideally, let's all have one mindset. Let's not discriminate against each other and things like that.
There's something else that definitely, I believe within the next 10 years has to happen. Actually, could be less. And it will be clearly a sign that we're in the end times. One clear one. The decline of America.
True.
This is already taking place, but I want you to understand that this will most likely happen possibly within the next 5 to 6 years or so, because it's already happening. And I want to set a foundation for it. America became a superpower in 1898 after the Spanish War. Okay. By that time, there were 5 other superpowers. There was Austria, Russia, Britain, and Portugal. Okay. Since 1898, America qualified as a superpower after winning the Spanish War, taking part in it. Mm. Spain as a superpower declined. Then, after World War II, there were only 2 superpowers left. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's America and Russia.
True.
Then it came to the rise of what we call the Cold War.
Mm.
All right?
Yes.
The Iron Curtain.
Yes.
As Winston Churchill once referred to it. Then, after the fall of the Berlin Wall in the 1980s, America has been the sole
superpower.
Now, I need to set something very important. Eh?
Mm. Yes.
If you look through the Bible, power began at the Tower of Babel. One man government and has been shifting from east to west since. I want you to understand, I'm talking about empires. So if we're to look through scripture, Babylon is present day Iraq.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
There's a time it was an empire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then Medo Persia became the next power. Babylon ruled for 500 years. Then the Medo-Persian, now I'm going to the statue of Daniel, right?
Yes.
The Medo-Persian Empire then ruled for also 500 years and disappeared.
Yeah.
Then power shifted to the west, Greece.
Mm. Yes.
All right? The Grecian Empire was there for about 300 years. Then it stayed in the west with Rome.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Now, since then, the Ottoman Empire. Then it's been shifting east west. Now, biblically, the final empire is supposed to be in the east. Okay? Because the Bible talks about the kings of the east. Okay? Now, I need you to understand this. There is a shift from America. The empire is dying. There's a decline. How do we know that? Because from the 1970s, the mantras of presidents have changed. Ronald Reagan's mantra was, let's make America great again. You don't say that unless there's been a decline. Okay? Years later, Trump takes Trump. Again, if you're talking about making America great again, there must have been
something.
There's something happening. Okay? So there's a clear decline. Now, there's a lot we could say about this, but America has been a superpower since 1898 for about 123 years. Over the years, from all the empires I've mentioned and the ones I've not mentioned, there's been a reduction in the duration an empire remains a superpower. So they call this the century of the American Empire, 123, but clearly there's a decline, there's a wane. One of the signs of that wane in power was the fact that, I don't know, these are the ciphers. Yes. When Joe Biden withdrew soldiers from Afghanistan, it's seen as a defeat. And I need you to understand, because the Taliban came in.
Yes.
They came in and they wrestled control once again of Afghanistan, okay? Which has been seen as a sign of weakness all over America and all over the world. Now, I want you to understand that was very key. Yes. Because even from the time of Obama went to a G7 meeting. And for many of these, I really have to summarize this. I don't want it to become political talk, but when America would go into many of these G5 and G7 meetings, and by the way, the G5 are USA, Britain, China, Russia, and it should be France, right?
Yes.
The five, and all of them were former empires. Okay? I need you to understand. So, whenever US would go in, it would go in as the big boy. Okay?
Yes.
Until something happened during the presidency of Barack Obama. He went in during a specific negotiation, and the countries decided to yield to China's stance rather than the US. And Obama came back with his tail between his legs. That was one of the key factors that there's a shift. I don't want to go into the details of it, but what I want you to, because we're going to discuss this, but what I want you to understand is that when you see the reserve currency change, know now we're in it. Because the dollar is the reserve currency.
Yes.
Okay? There is a lot of talk right now about removing the dollar as the reserve currency. You guys know America has the highest debt on earth, in trillions of dollars.
Yes.
Has the highest debt on earth, trillions of dollars, okay? It spends a large percentage of its budget, more than twice, thrice any other country after it, on defense.
True.
Okay?
True.
If the reserve currency was switched from the dollar, the cost of living in America will shoot up. Now, I don't know, I'm an economist by profession. I have to tell you this. It will affect the economy in a dire way. You guys allow me to... I'm saying it. America is a parallel of Rome. Rome was a superpower, and what led to its fall was overexpenditure on its army. Now, it's actually the key factor that led to the decline of the Roman Empire, along with other factors, but this was a key factor. America spends a lot of its money on defense. Now, there are people out there, even within its country, who ask, why do you take yourself to wars?
Exactly.
You understand? Now, if this reserve currency is switched, the cost of living and the cost generally of having the dollar, of using the dollar, the cost within the confines of the US begins to increase, they cannot and will not be able to handle the military exploits.
Yeah. Mm.
What will happen is that the military now will be pulled back. We're seeing...
So it's happening.
We're seeing, even before the reserve currency,
mm.
there's a pullback mm. on the expenditure. They're mm. trying to pull back because America has bases in over 100 countries.
Yep.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
Now, when they pull back, it will be clear. It's very... Because in the Bible, USA is not there.
Mm-hmm. No.
The US is not there.
Not there.
In the end time move, eh?
Mm.
You with me?
Mm.
So that's how we know there has to be a decline.
Mm.
And another sign to show you that it's not there is because Israel is attacked.
Yep.
And America has been a very big defender.
Yes. Of Israel.
Huh? Strong ally.
And so there must be a clear decline in the strength
of America.
Of the US.
Mm.
Huh? In order for such a thing
to happen.
But along with it, there are a lot of now presidents, especially Democrats who are coming up, who are against Israel
mm.
and protecting it. Eh? Mm. US mm. presidents, mm. Which mm. is another sign. It can be a judgment as to why mm. the economy will come down. Now, I believe there is going to be a grace period, depending on how the church in the US responds. Mm. Mm. There is going to be a grace period. That grace period will depend on the next term. Mm.
You got it.
Yes.
You're mm. getting it.
Yeah.
The next term.
Yes.
Whoever comes in
determines
into the next term. Because we have seen, we are in a season of what they call prophetic acceleration.
Yes. Mm.
The moment Joe Biden became president, because he's the head of a superpower, a lot in the world has been accelerated in terms of the return of Christ.
Yes.
True.
Because of also the position in which Joe Biden stands.
You guys with me?
Yes.
So
yes.
The decline of the U.S. is extremely, extremely probable. Actually, we're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. Actually, I'm willing to stake myself on it within the next, less than the next 10 years.
Mm.
Why? In 2000, actually, in the early 2000s, they said, you know, that China is the one of the fastest growing economies. Eh?
Mm.
They're wealthy. They're really catching up with the United States. In fact, they have a bigger economy than the United States now.
They lend to the U.S.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. They lend to the U.S.
Yeah, they lend to the U.S.
They own the largest debt of the U.S. Eh?
Yes.
They own it. Yeah. Now, years ago, they said that they gave, based on the projections of China's growth, they would give it up to 2050 for it to overtake the United States in military, in economy, and so on and so forth, and in influence in the world.
Mm.
When it came to the 2010s, they reduced it to 2040.
2040.
Okay?
Mm.
Currently, as we speak, they're saying it will happen in the 2020s.
Shorter.
Mm. Mm.
Are you with me?
Mm. Yes.
That's why I'm telling you, 10 years are too many.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Let's stand there.
Please, gentlemen.
And you see the same way the U.S. had influence. Like you were saying, it has bases in more than 100 countries and stuff like that. Now, we see China almost everywhere.
That's it. Especially Africa.
Everywhere. I have my own thoughts on how COVID also was able to spread like that. Because China was there somewhere.
The center of it.
Huh? But you see, so...
Yes.
Wait, I don't know.
It's interesting. Now, with picking it up from Daniel 3, where you see the statue standing up and the head is gold, then we see all those layers of it. So we're seeing a decline in that place of, for there to be an autonomy in terms of power over the globe, now is not doable given the prophetic timeline we're in. Because we see it decline to a point where he says, now I saw the feet, clay, mixture, you know, yet we saw gold with Nebuchadnezzar. Now it means... Even with this decline of the U.S., now we see it's been switching east-west. Now we come back to a place of east, and of course we have China in the mix of it, and we've had saucepans, China, everything made in China, no wonder.
we're really in it, aren't we, now?
Yes, we are. As we're speaking, I was thinking it's now not about whether it will, but it's a matter of when.
Yes.
And you talked about it's going to be determined on the next leader. afterwards.
Yes.
And I remember in the Bible, after some of the things that the King Manasseh had done, and now judgment was upon Israel, the only person who at least delayed judgment a bit was the King Josiah.
Yes.
Because now the Lord's judgment couldn't come at his time. And now with the current administration, and of course with so many people who are now pulling away from Israel,
yes,
we can see that the U.S. is actually headed for a fall. And you talked about, Rabbi, about the position of the church and what the church has to do, especially in this time. And when you look around the church in the U.S. at the moment, you ask yourself, are they really prepared? And do they have a broader understanding of the things that are happening now?
True.
I can give you just a small example. In Canada, I think at the start of the year, there is a pastor who was arrested. He's called Atul Polosky, who was caught preaching on the street. Apparently, he wasn't supposed to. He was putting people's lives at risk. Now, within hours, as I was reading that, there is a man of God in the U.S. who went on YouTube and started talking about this guy with his false teachings and saying that this guy actually deserves to be in prison and be arrested. It's crazy. And it made me think about what is happening around now in the U.S. And the only people who really can maybe delay the judgment a bit is the church, really.
So the position.
But the thing is that it's inevitable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They can only delay it for a while.
It's going to happen. That's so. Listen to me carefully. You, as long as you're alive,
yes,
and you will be, you're going to see the decline of America until China now becomes, ahead. Oh, and then the power itself is because when the Antichrist comes, power is going to be invested in what we know now is the European Union. Okay, so America has to decline now. The next thing that I think is going to happen within the next 10 years, based on the prophetic acceleration that we're in, is the rapture.
True.
Yes.
Now.
True.
Why is everyone laughing?
Just skip that one.
Why is everyone laughing? You didn't expect that one, eh? Now I'm. I can also put my hand on this one because let me explain something. David Rockefeller, if I can quote him, once said that all the world needs is the right crisis and a global government will come into power.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He once said that. Now, listen. Over the years, a lot of crises have come into play. One of them is the one we're currently in, COVID-19. But none of them will be as potent as the crisis where millions disappear.
Instantly.
The Bible says, two shall be in bed.
And one.
That thing always makes me laugh. Two shall be in bed. One will be taken, one will be left behind. I shall not be me. Okay. Two shall be working in a field, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Yes. This will be a crisis. Now, there's a precursor to this crisis. There's a precursor. Over the years, on media, there have been talk of aliens, and the movies have taken on a supernatural feel. And they take on... If you've watched the movie The Arrival, there are various movies out there that explain the coming of another species, outside our own, and our own atmosphere and our world. It has been increasing. I'm sure you movie watchers, you know about Area 51 and how the people have been citing UFOs and many people are called conspiracy theories and so on and so forth. But let me explain something. All this has been setting a stage for the actual coming of these beings. Now, are you with me?
Yes.
Which itself has to happen within these 10 years. And by 10, I'm counting from 2020. Not 2000.
So we're already 1 year.
Not 2000. Not 2021. Now, to me, this is exciting stuff because I know I won't be here for some of this stuff. Be raptured and all that stuff. But if you plan to be around, please, guys, show people this video. But there's going to be First of all, there's going to be a precursor. There are beings that are going to show up. Many of you know, and we'll talk about, I think we'll have a separate session on that. But there are beings that are going to show up. When these beings show up, either before or after the rapture, depending. Depending on the grace period, because this can be pushed. But it will be an explanation as to why people have disappeared. You understand? Aliens took them. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So all this is setting a foundation to explain why certain things have happened. But interestingly, according to the Bible, the greatest harvest will be after the rapture, where billions come to Christ. And that's why when I'm ministering to non-believers, I preach my heart out, because the day I've disappeared right in front of them,
they'll
remember. They'll become the preachers of the saints. Someone was asking me actually the other day, like, when people disappear, will they go with their clothes? All the clothes be left behind? I think the answer is very clear. Alex, I'm interested, but the answer is clear. What's going to happen is this. I want us to touch this, then we'll find a way to wind up. What's going to happen is this. The Bible says, "And the Lord Himself shall descend." Then it says, "With a shout." Then it says, "Sound of a trumpet, the archangel's voice," and then, "We who are dead in Christ shall rise first." That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Now I need you to understand that the rapture is different from the second coming of Christ.
True.
They're not the same.
No.
They're not the same thing.
They're not.
People think they are.
Actually, some people think the return of Christ is two times.
It's the rapture.
It's not two times. With the rapture, the Bible says we shall meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
When it comes to the coming of Christ, the Bible says that He shall set foot in the book of Zechariah.
Yes.
It says on the Mount of Olives, will split into two. Now we will watch. You see, the first time He's coming for us. The second time we're coming with Him.
Yes.
Based on your rank. So.
Yes. I think you need to touch on that.
Based on your rank.
No. I'm not talking about rank. I'm talking about. You know when an army is moving, there are people who are in front, then there are people who are behind. But there's something that's going to happen. And what's going to happen is that the dead in Christ will rise. Now the question is, if the dead in Christ will rise, are they in heaven?
It's a good one.
Throw it to you. I've said all this.
I think the dead in Christ are in heaven.
And I'm going to explain.
I believe they're in heaven. Because as long as you accept.
So Jesus, do they come Christ back? Do they come back to the resurrect? To resurrect?
No, I think it's just their bodies which will come out.
Actually, that's it.
That's what I believe. It's what comes, I think, with the Christ is, I think, their spirit, then the body, then the body meeting up.
So what will happen essentially is that right now in heaven, there's people are in heaven, but they're spirits.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They do not have, according to scripture, spiritual bodies. They are spirits. I do not know what they are like. Because scripture says, if you look in Luke chapter 16, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, each goes to their own place. But they have bodies. They can recognize each other of sorts. They have bodies of a form. Okay? Now, what I need you to understand, even the Bible says, you have come unto Mount Zion. Then it goes on to say, and the spirits of the just men made perfect. So in Mount Zion, there are spirits of just men made perfect. So there are people in the heavenlies. When it comes to the rapture, there will be a sound, a shout. All these are linked to sounds. And we'll talk about that some other time. People who are dead, their bodies will come and meet with their spirits. And the bodies will be turned into new. Those are celestial bodies now, not terrestrial bodies. We have terrestrial bodies, but then we'll turn new bodies like Jesus had when Jesus could walk through the wall and all that. Very interesting stuff. Yeah. Then after that happens, all those who are in Christ, because those who are alive, they'll just change instantly.
Yeah.
Your clothes stay here. Please listen to me. All the plastic arms and legs, the fake teeth.
Those are not required.
Fake eyelashes.
And all kinds of jobs.
You see, I always tell people, you see, you will change your body into male to female, whatsoever.
You leave it with me.
But
if you're bleached, you'll go back to the
original version.
So all that will remain. I believe the signs of those things will play a role in getting some people born again. You understand?
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what will happen. But you guys, the rapture is soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's happening soon. I don't know if you have anything to add on to that before we...
Just before he comes in. It's interesting because now you've touched the topic of bodies. And I remember in the previous teachings, you've talked about how when anything has to do with earth, it's the realm of man.
Yeah.
And for anything to operate here, you need to either influence a man or be as a man.
Mm.
So now when we look at the second coming of Christ, which is something that I know you'll touch on later.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I pray you touch on it later. But I'm curious just to understand. So that means when we are raptured, and our bodies are changed.
Yeah.
And when we are coming back, will they also be changed back to the form that...
No. We're coming in those bodies. And listen, a lot of the things that happen, the tribulation, especially the great tribulation. Now, I know there's debate, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I like to look at it this way. There will be a rapture.
Let's first
start from there.
Yeah.
And thank God, theologically, most people agree that there will be a rapture of sorts. Now, we are going to be watching from above. You do not want to be around when the Bible, the one who the Bible refers to as that wicked one, is around. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about it in its fullness. But what happens is that when we come with Christ, the Bible, this is what Enoch said, the first summon, end time summon, he will return with 10,000 of his saints. Now, I want each of us to give, there are so many events we could have given that are coming next. There are battles that are coming. There are three battles that I think, three segments of battles that are very, there's one that is very key, the river Euphrates war, or Gog and Magog. Then, that one essentially is going to come. There are battles that the Antichrist will have with the kings of the south, kings of the north, and so on and so forth. Then there's the Armageddon, which is different from the river Euphrates battle. All right? There are those that are coming. There are things that are coming, but we've just touched a few. But I want you guys to give your last statements in relation to this, and then we'll close.
As we prepare to close, for me, I think just one thing that I would talk about the church in regards to the rapture is the apostasy, where there's going to be
falling away,
the great falling away. And we can look at it in three aspects. There are those who are going to fall away because of temptation. Then we are going to look at those who are going to be persecuted, and they're like, no, we cannot handle this anymore. Then of course, the great deception. And the crazy thing about deception is even those that are deceived, they are a bit aware. Because I don't know whether it was you, Eric, who talked about it would be more lenient even for those in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the crazy thing is the Pharisees and the Sadducees in John chapter 7, verse 52, when they were telling some of these guys who had talked about, I think one of them was Nicodemus, who had seen some of the things that Jesus had done.
Yes.
And they asked him, are you also a part of his disciples?
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees said, you search the scriptures and see that none of the prophets has ever come out of Galilee. But the crazy thing is that this was actually in the scriptures, because I think Isaiah 9:2 talks about this. Then even Jesus had talked about 4:16. And some of these things are already happening now with the church. We can see there is a huge, huge division because of the deception. Then we are seeing a lot of persecution and people being drifted apart, that someone cannot be convicted to speak on their own because they are scared of the repercussion. Yeah, then of course the temptations and the things that are happening around us, where you look at something that is on the surface, it looks innocent but deadly. So you're tempted by it, and before you know it, you're already submerged.
Yeah. Eric, give us your final statement.
It's interesting. Redeem the times, for the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16 on, you know, it's the times literally we're in, you know. And how do we get to do that bit of the redemption? It's from the place of wisdom and knowledge.
Yes.
You know, we've got to now study to show ourselves approved of God. Workmen that do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because at the end of the day, from Matthew 24 on, they're asking, tell us, how will the end look like? And he says, you're going to hear wars, rumors of wars. And when he says all that disease, pestilence, and all, then he says, but that will only be the intro. Paraphrase, you know? They are like Rabbi had said, you don't want to be in that time when this is happening. The revelation, literally, the happening of the Antichrist and what the capacity is to do. Because that will be the time, he says, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, see, will be translated, you know. Mortality has to give way to immortality, and that's now the place we're in. That even while we're walking here, you know, there needs to be a deeper hunger beyond just the place of, you know what, I know Christ and that's it, you know. Because like you said, we're talking ciphers and all coded spirit terminologies, and the thing is, it's a life, it's real. And so I take from it to all of us will just be, let's awake from slumber, you know. Awake from slumber.
Maki, any last statements?
Yeah, and this is just for anyone who is also listening, who is watching. You know, we are believers. And for us, we don't take any joy, any pride in a soul perishing. You know, because we think alike with heaven. Okay, we celebrate when a soul comes to Christ. And so if you're listening to this message, okay, please pay attention to it. Don't take it for granted. These are not jokes. Forget all the laughter we've had. Sure. There's so much seriousness and truth to it. And like everyone else here agrees, don't be swept and swayed by how the world is making it seem like, oh, this is a norm, this is right and whatsoever. Use wisdom.
Yeah.
Use wisdom to discern the spirit and know where you need to be. And please understand that when the rapture happens, the elect of God will only be the ones who are caught up. So if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not going to be part of that. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church on Sunday.
No.
It doesn't matter how many times you pray. As long as you're not born again,
true.
Don't lie to yourself. Yeah. You'll be left out of the rapture.
Okay. All right. With that, Afimani, Alex Ngola, Eric, I'm yours truly, Rabbi Daniel Malinga. And always remember, I would like to end with the book of Revelations, the way it says, even so, come Lord Jesus, come.